Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Good morning, Ryan. Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing well. How are you guys?
Good. We playing football, man?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's life been like for you? Kind of like, you know, am I going to be busy this fall? Am I not going to be busy this fall? It's got to be kind of, you know, kind of wacky for you.
It is. You know, I think it's just wild for everybody involved. And the funny thing about these situations is sometimes, you know, coaches and people close to the program don't even necessarily know what's going to happen. It's just one of those deals where everyone's sort of waiting to see, you know, who's going to make those decisions, who's going to step forward and have a stronger opinion. And, you know, the SEC, at least, I think has felt good. They have a plan in place. But obviously these stories of the last 48 hours or so have led to a lot of concern, despite the SEC's plans. But, you know, Greg Sankey, I think, coming out and saying what he did yesterday on Twitter, I think made a lot of people within the SEC feel better about the fact that I think they're likely to take their time. And that's kind of been my thought all along, and the fact that they have a plan in place to wait until late September to start their season, that they now have opponents in place, that preseason practice isn't even set to start until next week. I think they're inclined to at least wait and see how things go a little bit longer before making a really final decision. But, yeah, there's obviously concern, and no one wants to see any other Power 5 conferences go by the wayside and sort of make this a deal where the SEC is one of a two or three on an island is the only ones playing.
Well, the Big Ten spent Friday through Sunday seeding national media folks with anonymous quotes to run that up the flag. And I think the SEC and the ACC called their bluff, quite frankly, and said, you know, okay, what, you know, we're playing. We saw what the ACC said as well. We'll see. How much do we need to read into the fact that the Chancellor, Donde Plowman, she came and visited with the team, the AD, the head coach, and everybody yesterday, and what she said after that sounded very encouraging for those who want to see it go on.
Yeah, I think it's well. First of all, I think it's a good move on her part, just to sort of, you know, get the input from those players, from those coaches, to see how they feel about it. I don't think we've heard enough, frankly, throughout the process from the players and the people who are directly affected by this. You know, I don't think that's the only thing that has to go into a decision like that, but I think it's at least an element of the decision that has to be made. Now, former Vol Will Overstreet, he's on a TV show here in the Knoxville area where Sunday he made a good point. You know, sometimes when it comes to things like concussions and things like that, you know, there's not a player you'll find on the sideline for the most part that, you know, years ago especially, that had a head injury and didn't want to shake it off and get back in the game.
Right.
And sometimes the adults have to be the adults in the room and make the smart decisions. So it's not just as simple as the players want to play, we have to let them play, but that is an element of the feedback you have to get. So I think that was a smart move by Donde Plowman to get that. And like you said, you know, she gave encouraging feedback. I think they feel good about that. And I think the fact that players are speaking up more nationwide is helping to kind of get this movement going that, hey, football that still can be played. There's a way to do it, and we want to play if at all possible. So that's an important part, and I'm glad we're hearing that now. And now I think that's at least pushed back on the narrative that there's no way to play football. Now it's just a matter of who's going to step forward and actually make a decision. And now does this change what the Big Ten has looked like it's, you know, leaning toward doing? Does this cause them to push back a little bit now that we've had Big Ten coaches even coming out, obviously, very against this and saying they want to play this season?
You know, Ryan, if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you can't help but being a little selfish about this, right? I mean, you come off this great comeback season last year where you string all those wins together, you win your bowl game, you go out and just crush it in recruiting. I mean, a big part of him has to be thinking, yeah, I understand the risk, but man, I really want to play and keep this momentum going, right?
I think so. I mean, someone asked the other day, you know, after seeing Tennessee's schedule last week, you know, would Tennessee be fine with postponing now that they've got a tougher schedule? You know, that's another side to this too. I mean, Tennessee's got a schedule that a lot of people probably are going to expect them to go 5-5. So you can make arguments for either one as to what's better for a particular school. But I definitely think you want to keep playing. I think that's just the nature of any competitor. I think they all want to play. Jared Garantano and a lot of Tennessee's players we've already seen coming out saying, you know, joining that hashtag we want to play movement. And Trey Smith, to me, that was a big one yesterday to see him come out and say, hey, I don't want to get cheated out of the opportunity to play this year. To see a guy like that that has a known or has had a known health condition that might make him at high risk of dealing with some complications if he were to get the virus, to see a player like that come out and say, I want to play, I think that's significant. That's the guy that we've wondered all along, will he consider opting out? Will he have any hesitation to play? Apparently not. So to hear those kinds of things, I think that matters. But, yeah, I don't know which side Tennessee would fall on with that, other than to say I think any competitor wants to play and have a chance to win games no matter how tough their schedule is. So I'm sure that's where Jeremy Pruitt falls too.
Well, yeah, you reference the two, when they added the two extra teams. Tennessee got Texas A&M and Auburn, a couple fringe top 10 teams. Mm-hmm. Vandy got LSU and Mississippi State. Alabama got Stephen F. Austin and Rensselaer.
I'm from upstate New York. RPI is a good, they got a good program. And Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, baby.
Yeah. And,
go Tech.
And I think LSU got Cal Obispo and somebody,
Practical Bible College.
Yeah, but it awful fishy. It was really awful fishy that, you know, the way that all shaked out. Now, Kentucky's going to be a decent, they're going to be good. There's no doubt about that. And quite frankly, you're sitting there at Texas A&M and Auburn, you say, man, I don't want to play Tennessee, quite, you know, ask Auburn, right? You know, about that. So anyway, but it was awful. It smelled. Let's just put it that way.
It had that appearance, and that's the problem. So my problem wasn't the outcome so much as the thought behind it. I think the outcome is that, you know, it was never going to be perfect. You can't balance out 14 schedules when you have that many different teams, and everybody can't play the teams more than a certain number of times. You know, not everybody can play Arkansas for, you know, if they need an easy game to balance up their schedule.
They've well, and Arkansas got the games. Titans and the Cowboys, right?
I think. Well, exactly. Yeah, they got the short end of the stick because some other teams needed to balance up their schedule with a weaker game. So my problem with it is that with two extra games, they tried to. Correct the inequities of an eight-game schedule when that's never been the SEC's approach. It's always been luck of the draw, luck of the rotation, and they've always been fine with having that, and that's usually how it goes. You know, this year, the fact that Alabama is set to play Georgia, that's just their turn in the rotation. That's how it goes. So why try to fix that with two extra games? I think that the better approach might have been just to try to give everybody two games that are about as even as possible in terms of strength of schedule among those two games only. And you know, for instance, if you draw in Alabama, you get a team toward the bottom of the division to balance it out. Do the best you can, but don't try to fix the schedule with those two games. And that's what they did. They tried to make up for the fact that Alabama already has a tough schedule by giving them a couple easier teams. I don't think that's the right way to do it.
No, and it's a slippery slope when the league starts determining who's good and who's not. You know,
right?
It's,
and we show every year at SEC Media Days, us media, we don't know that any better than they do. So they're guessing on that too, and probably somebody who doesn't look like their schedule is as tough is going to end up with a really tough schedule because someone will be better than expected and all that. So you just don't know, and that's, you're right. What does the SEC know about about who's going to be great this season and who's not?
Recruiting editor at GoVols247. He covers UT. GoVols247. You can follow him on Twitter directly at Ryan Callahan 247. Yesterday, Casey and Hill says he's transferring. Of course, he transferred in from Maryland, sat out a year. Now he's transing out, and you know it's a crowded room with Garantano, Maurer, Shrout, the freshman, the commitments on the horizon. Not a surprise, really.
Yeah, not a surprise that someone left. It's interesting. This is how it's gone. That we made it through an entire offseason with no resolution of on the practice field. So you've had Brian Maurer and JT Shrout stick it out when a lot of people thought one of those guys might end up leaving. Harrison Bailey didn't get a chance to play his way up the depth chart potentially during the spring. So all that's been put on hold. And the casualty ends up being Kasim Hill, a guy that people viewed as an outside contender at best for playing time anyway. But something probably had to give there eventually. Now, Jimmy Holiday was working there the first 2 days of spring practice as a freshman. He's already moved to receiver. So you've had some depth go by the wayside there. But you still got four scholarship guys sort of in the way for Kasim Hill. And even though he's had
previous experience at a major program in Maryland, still just looked like a real uphill battle for him to find his way onto the field. So not surprising to see him leave, and it'll be interesting to see where he surfaces now as a guy with a couple of major knee injuries in his past. You know, is there still somewhere he can find a chance to earn some major playing time? I wouldn't rule him out, but he may have to take a step down in terms of competition level to find somewhere he can play.
Yeah, I got it right the first time, Kasim. I don't know what I can't even read my own damn writing.
Ryan, what about at wide receiver? You know, Juwan Jennings was so great for the Vols last year, and just kind of, I thought he really spearheaded their resurgence last year. Who steps up a wide receiver now that he's gone?
Yeah, they've got a lot to replace there. No way around that. With not just Juwan Jennings, but Marquez Callaway. Those two guys bailed out Jarrett Garantano a lot last year, and they've got some talented guys ready to step in to maybe fill that void. They've got some young guys they really like quite a bit from what they've seen so far. They just haven't done it before and haven't seen those guys in action, obviously. So I think they feel like they've got some options, but yeah, the experience and what those guys brought in terms of being able to pull down a 50-50 ball in tight coverage, you're going to miss that. And that's an unknown variable with Tennessee's offense this year. You know, if they hopefully get a chance to play, you know, do those guys fill the void and pick up the slack there for an offense that has a lot of pieces back but still has some question marks? Or is that a problem for Tennessee? And if that's a problem, that could be a really big issue this year. I've seen less significant losses, I'll say this, be a bigger hindrance for offenses in the past. So I definitely don't think you can write off losing a couple receivers like that. And if Garantano doesn't have that safety, that security blanket somewhere to sort of bail him out at times, it could be a really big issue for this offense. But I think Tennessee's got at least some interesting candidates and some good athletes, most importantly, to help them out and upgrade their speed at wide receiver. So interesting position battle. We'll obviously be watching as much as we can throughout preseason camp that hopefully we'll get started on Monday.
Interesting little business. Shannon Terry, who founded 24/7, yeah, of course, who founded Rivals as well, and, you know, at comic book, at pop culture, two amazing online sites as well. And Shannon's a buddy. I mean, he's, you know, as far as he's about the coolest multimillionaire I know. He's stepping aside after 10 years. And I know he put that out. I know you retweeted it. I know a lot of people, I mean, he shaped the marketplace with initially Rivals and now what he's done the last 10 years with 24/7. Obviously joining with Viacom and CBS, what a great run.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm indebted to him forever for what he's done for my career, for this network, for GoVols 24/7 to get us off the ground. It didn't take long for me hearing the pitch from him and his people at the very beginning when they first talked to us about GoVols 24/7 to see where he was taking it, to know his background and where this was headed. It was pretty obvious. He had a pretty clear vision. And the thing is, maybe the most impressive thing to me is he adapted his vision. His vision at the beginning was not the vision that came to fruition in the end in some ways, because he was smart enough to adapt and see the changes in the industry and what needed to where he needed to go with his time and energy. So he everything he's touched has turned to gold in terms of the college sports landscape. So obviously I hate to see him leave our company, but certainly know whatever he does next will be fascinating to see, and can't wait to see what he has in store next, because I don't think he's the type of guy. I don't know for sure. He hasn't told us what his plans are, but he's not the type of guy to go home and play golf and call it a day. I think he's going to want to get involved in something else, and I'm sure it'll be pretty fun to watch whatever he does get involved with next.
Well, maybe I can interest him in a 1-900 recruiting number. So. how's recruiting going? Have they got are they up to their 38 limit yet?
not quite there yet. No, now everybody's looked at it numbers wise and said they're right up against it, right? Their class is almost full, 24 commitments, but that's usually not how it goes this time of year, and I certainly don't think that's the case in such an unusual year. I think Tennessee hasn't had much turnover in this class so far. They've really had two decommitments. When you look at it, they had one decommitment that joined the class again in March, so they really only lost two guys. And that's not a whole lot for most years. We've seen usually it's closer to, you know, at least the 5 to 10 range in terms of decommitments by the time you get to signing day. So the reality is there will be some turnover. If visits happen this fall, it could be even more turnover. But just the fact that high school football looks like it's going to be played in a lot of states, having that evaluation tool is going to be huge, and it's going to lead to some natural changes in some classes for multiple reasons, because you're going to have players that emerge this fall that didn't get attention in the spring they should have gotten. You're going to have players that maybe don't look as good as schools thought they were this past year. So a lot still can change, and I would fully expect that to happen in a year where everything's kind of been on hold for a while, just from playing high school football this year. It's a big difference, even if visits don't resume anytime soon. So I would say stay tuned, but Tennessee's still in the mix for a number of guys and definitely hasn't stopped recruiting, even with that commitment total being at 24.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7, at Ryan Callahan 24/7. And proud to announce, John, that Ryan, once again, starting next week, will be joining us every Friday morning, 9:25 Central, 10:25 Eastern. Mm-hmm. We tried to get Memphis in the Eastern time zone earlier in the day. But
I'm having a bad show, Ryan. Bad show.
And I had Juwan James playing wide receiver for the 49ers
now. He's like, Juwan James wasn't a wide receiver. He was an offensive. I go, Jenny. All in the same segment, Ryan. We are definitely looking forward to chatting with you every week, and hopefully you can put up with our buffoonery.
And I said, happy. I hope everybody's having a great Wednesday.
You really brought a lot of clarity and you leveled us off.
Well,
Ryan, good to have you.
Well, last night we were on mask duty on Lower Broad. Anyway, Ryan, looking forward to having you every Friday morning at 10:25, 9:25
our time. Here we go again.
Yeah, starting. Let me write it down on my hand.
Hey, Ryan, it would be best if you just tweet out the information and I'll retweet it from the station feed.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that might be best if we just let Ryan take care of the promoting.
Probably a good idea.
You know,
Pickers
Vodka's gluten-free.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Steve Martin was a prop comic. Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, thank you, man. Looking forward to have you on every Friday at 9:25. See you, buddy.
Take care, man.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, Ryan.